She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. Fucking Johnny Five when we're out of here.
Robot sex.
I just don't want to do spoilers.
Soothe the memories.
Fucking hell, I give up.
With Nurse Katie.
Nurse Katie.
She's back again, bitches.
I just have to say that this is the only time you're scheduled another for one this season, but you know, if we get sick, we're going to text you.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, I know that I've seen the lineup for this season, but I don't think I have, so I might need one of you to text it to me so I can at least see like what the wait list is at the library.
Yeah.
For some of these. Mm-hmm. Just no spooky shit. Up. You've been told. I will not do spooky shit. Hard stop. So.
But April's like, yeah. But I wanna maybe possibly just
mm-mm. It's not nope. That I want to do scary books, but we've promised a spooky season, and you have been so kind to me in picking books that are like spooky but not scary, so I was like, let's read scary shit, and now I'm regretting it.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I know, when I saw what you put on there, I was like, okay, April, let's rock and roll.
It'll be fine. It'll be good content, because the whole time I'll be going, oh god, no.
What's funny is, so Hillary from Ireland is one of my nearest and dearest, and she mm-hmm. knew I put, with the book you and I are talking about, she knew we put this on pod, mm-hmm. and she texts me and she goes, you guys are reading this for pod, right? And I go, yeah, and she goes, you're going to pee your pants? I'm so excited, Molly!
Yeah. Yep, you're going to have to fly solo on one boo-boo if April's sick. Not from this gal.
I'll make Hillary do it with me then.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about this last week because I was waiting for Katie to be on, but we finished another Smut Girl Summer, Katie.
Woo-woo!
Yeah, you do.
And what did you think about this one?
This season was, our season of Smut Girl Summer was a letdown. This was
such a letdown.
And we had a couple, what we thought were pretty strong contenders coming in. And they mm-hmm. were so,
you guys
like,
had some pretty good authors on there.
We did. We had some banging offers on there. And it was shit. Yeah.
We had the newest Allie Hazelwood, and we had last year's Emily Henry. And both of them were big letdowns. And I was just
huge
shocked.
Letdowns. Yeah. Huge letdowns.
I mean, we should have read Olivia since we met her. Because we talked about last week how I met Olivia, but you were actually there with me. You came in from Ohio. And
yes.
It was awesome.
It was fun. Yay. And I brought her Buckeyes. So she was very excited for that. Nice. So yeah.
Yeah. I got maybe like two of those. The boys ate them all. More accurately, James ate them all.
It's all right. It's peanut butter. It's healthy. It's totally healthy.
It's protein.
It's peanut butter fudge.
It's basically a health food. So
it's basically,
I am literally sure. Nurse Katie. Trust me on this one.
Buckeyes in my title. Katie approved.
Stamp.
They're practically protein bars, for Pete's sake.
Exactly. It's a protein bite. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, it's totally fine.
See, Molly knows.
Mm-hmm. So when this episode goes live, I'll have been at my job for a week, but because we're filming behind the scenes, we're filming this before I've actually started my job. So tune in for episode 3, in which I'll tell you about my new job.
Today, the girls and I have been plotting our Ren Faire costumes.
Oh.
Yeah, I wish. I can't believe you guys think I'm just going to commit murder on the daily.
No, we just think
plotting. It feels likely.
Daily. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I was trying to say is we are going to the Renaissance Festival for Livia's birthday this year. And we are
girl, upgrading. Her birthday is all the way in the spring.
Livia's?
Oh, Livia. I was thinking of Piper.
I was like, I'm pretty sure her birthday's this month.
It is.
Yeah. I was like,
she was such a little peanut at her first Christmas, which was at my house.
She's still a little peanut.
That's true. She looks she got taller, though.
Yeah, she has gotten taller. She's grew a whole inch over the summer, and she makes sure everybody knows that.
I'm proud of her.
A whole
inch. What theme are you going at for Ren Faire? Are you just going for, like, tavern wench, or?
So we're, like, upgrading our costumes from last year. Liv has, like, this little mushroom getup she's doing. She has, like, this red and white getup with, like, a mushroom hat. Mm-hmm. She's adding wings and a corset. She's
I love that.
Crocheting her own little dragons. Aww. So she's like this little mushroom fairy. And I'm going to make myself more of a witchy vibes. I'm getting, I saw this thing on Pinterest where you take, the wicker straw hats and you make it into a witch's hat. So I'm going to do that.
Fun.
And I'm going to put little mushrooms on it. And
I think like you should make Matt a winch. That would be funny.
Poor Matt's going to be working.
He's going to be what?
He's going to be working. Tater's bringing one of her friends, and she's like, I can dress up however I want. And we're like, yeah, sure. She goes, I'm coming as Spider-Gwen. I was like, let's rock it, girly. Come as Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen. All right, so do we feel like we should probably talk about this book that we're here to talk about?
Please.
Allegedly. That's the theme of this podcast, so.
Books?
So this week we are talking about In the Lives of Puppets by T.J. Clune. This is a signed edition from Barnes & Noble.
Ooh, this is a paperback. With a
I got a signed edition. I didn't actually meet him, but I got a signed edition.
I text you ladies about, I'll say 2 weeks ago, asking if either of you had a physical copy of this book.
Mm-hmm.
I was scrolling through my bookshelves a week ago and I found it. So good. I didn't know I owned it.
Straight edges. That thing's beautiful.
Isn't it pretty?
Yes.
That's really a very pretty.
Molly looking cover.
Yes, and it is. It's super green. It's super green.
And this is our third T.J. Clune. I guess I should probably give a synopsis. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I guess if you want.
I have no idea how long we've been in here. All right. T.J. Clune's In the Lives of Puppets is supposed to be a modern retelling of Pinocchio, now with robots. The story follows a found family, which Clune is known for, made up of patriarch android Giovanni, his human son Victor, their vacuum robot Rambo, and their robot nurse Ratched. When Vic discovers a new robot affectionately named Hysterically Angry Puppet, or Hap, their lives are forever changed, especially after the smooth androids show up and kidnap Gio, after discovering the chemical contents of Vic's blood in the scrapyard. I said scrapyard.
Scrapyard.
While Vic remains safe from capture, he learns the terrifying truth. He is very well the last human on Earth and was grown or invented in his father's own lab. Mm-hmm. Armed with this knowledge, Vic, Hap, Rambo, and Ratched start off on a Wizard of Oz type journey, complete with evil robots, a demented sideshow conductor, and the mysterious blue fairy, in an effort to bring Gio home. There we go. That's all I could.
That's the synopsis.
I have my bell ready, just so you guys know.
Oh, where's my bell? I gotta
this
dig it out.
This book pulled from so many kids' books. I was like,
mm-hmm. Well, that's a question. So just wait a minute.
I'm gonna wait.
Soothe the memories.
We'll bell for you if you can't find it, Katie. Okay.
Soothe the memories.
Yeah. Instead of calm your kids, that's what my kid tells me is to soothe my memories.
I'm gonna give that to Bob.
You said soothe your memories, and I was like,
because the oldest has been. She's been saying that a lot lately. Calm your tits.
Yeah.
So
soothe your memories.
Smooth. I was going to say smooth your memories. Smooth them.
We are
like the sandpaper so elf.
Molly, stop it.
Question number one.
This is the third T.J. Clune we have covered for Pod. How do you feel this book stacked up to House on the Cerulean Sea and Under the Whispering Door?
Three bell ringer.
This man knows better than to release this kind of
so much
trash.
Better. What is this? He
knows better than this. this was a rushed book. This was a book. His publisher was like, okay, you're hot. You need another book. And he's like, look, I don't think this book is as good as my other ones. It doesn't matter. We want another book. They want it.
We're on a 3-book contract. We need to get the third book out.
Yep. That's what I felt like it was.
Mm-hmm. Money. That's exactly how this felt.
Well, I mean, he already got a money grab. Behind me here are the hardback releases of his self-published werewolf series. Mm-hmm. And that was a total money grab, too. They were already published in Kindle because they were self-published. And you could buy paperbacks of them. They re-released them as hardbacks. And I am a dumbass and bought all of them. Whatever. Yeah, I mean, I've said this on this podcast.
It only counts as one book in the budget, just so you know.
Correct. And the fourth book, the fourth book actually came out in July. And I had so many hashtag not sponsored Barnes and Noble points that I got it for free. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So.
Girl math.
So duh.
Girl math. It was one book.
Girl math. I don't know. It's frustrating. It's frustrating when the bar is so high with this man.
Yeah.
Yes. When he pops out freaking emotionally holding you in warm hug bangers, mm-hmm. and then you give us this, and the only thing I can say I'm happy about is the fact that he quoted Firefly.
Yeah, I missed that until you pointed it out through text message to us.
Hey, you don't misbehave.
No Firefly, do you?
I know it's Nathan Fillion, but that's about it. Yeah.
Well,
that's Alan Tudyk.
Oh, I didn't know he was in that. I love him.
Oh, he's fantastic in it.
Some people juggle peace.
Yeah.
He's my favorite on the show, Wash.
Yeah.
He went to Juilliard.
Did he really?
I went to Juilliard.
There's an awesome side note. There's an awesome video of him voicing the chicken from Moana.
I was just going to say, yeah, he's the chicken in Moana, and he's a Juilliard trained
And artist. He's laughing at himself and going, I went to Juilliard. What did I text you that he was in, Molly? That he was totally random. He's something in Encanto.
No.
Alan so Tudyk. He in Encanto, he's a toucan.
A toucan.
Oh, my God.
So here's the deal. Alan Tudyk was sucked up by Disney because they needed a character actor. They lost Robin Williams, and they needed a character actor that they could just keep on the deck. Well, here's the problem with keeping a character actor just on your pay bill. Mm-hmm. You get told to dance like a freaking monkey. You dance like a monkey. So they don't fucking care like a
chicken. You're going
to
have to balk like a chicken. They don't care if you went to Juilliard.
They don't fucking care you went to Juilliard. They know you can do the best chicken noises at anybody else that went to Juilliard.
My favorite is that in Zootopia, he plays Duke Weaselton.
Yes! In
Frozen, he plays Duke Weaselton or something.
Weaselton.
It's like, it's the same. Yeah.
But they're trying to do that more for him. He was making jokes about how there might be more of those kind of characters for him in the future, which I wouldn't be surprised if
he played
just
a fucking chicken. You can't just like bok bok, bitch. Like, I don't get it.
But I would die to see the paycheck from that. Because you know very well he just went bark, bark, and he got $1 million check, right?
Listen, I got it that much.
I think the chicken's in Moana too, So he's going to be banking in on that too. I ain't hating on his game.
Be nice.
Mm-mm. Okay, so great. Back to the book, because we got way off topic.
So, watch Firefly, Nathan Fillion, very good. Mm-hmm. Zoe, Josh, have a great marriage. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what I was saying, comparing this to his other two books that we've covered, so I've said this multiple times on this podcast and through TikTok videos I've posted, again, hashtag not sponsored, House on the Cerulean Sea is probably my favorite book that we covered, period. This is season 7, period. It's my favorite. It started my obsession. I have almost a whole shelf of T.J. Klune at this point. For me, this is just it's a big letdown.
It's very disappointing. Mm-hmm. It is very disappointing when you get consistent 5-star reads from a writer and they give you a 2-star piece of trash.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, when did you write this in middle school? Like,
I wouldn't say it was trash, but it just wasn't. And here's the thing.
Compared to his level of work, it feels like it.
But see, that's the like thing, a, Molly. That
feels like a throwaway.
Compared to the book that we read last week, Powerless, this is still better. But compared to his other work.
He set the bar too high for himself.
It's true.
It definitely gives me parenting my teenagers where I want to be like, I know you are capable of more. Mm-hmm. I have mm-hmm. seen you do more. Mm-hmm. This is not your best work.
It's I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do better. You know, you if know I'm better, yelling, do better. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I'm yelling, I'm mad. But if I'm talking softly and being calm. Just
disappointed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're really fucked up.
The thing is that I still really want to meet him and chat with
I
him.
I do too.
Me too.
And tell him how much I love Cerulean Sea.
I would love to talk to him. Well, hell, if he wants to bring the sequel to Cerulean Sea on, mm-hmm. come on over, TJ.
I love how he likes to portray messages. Mm-hmm. And so the message in Cerulean Sea and Under the Whispering Door, like, I loved both of those messages. But this one, mm-hmm. I had no idea what the message was. Like, I was like,
I didn't get this book. I don't understand this at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Symbolism? I texted you
all. Yeah. Never heard of her. Yeah.
Well, I texted you guys that, that when I wrote my questions for this, like, this felt like a smart book to me. And like, I wasn't mm-hmm. even sure if my questions were like mm-hmm. too English teachery because right. that's not really what we do for pod. Tom always calls us a comedy pod. Like comedy pod with books. And this book isn't that.
No. The humor in this book was written into the robots.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's where your humor is yeah. the robots.
Yeah. All right. So next question. Giovanni's original designation is General Intelligence Operative, or GEO. HAP was originally Human Annihilation Response Protocol, HARP. And Nurse Ratched stands for Nurse Registered Automation to Care, Heal, Educate, and Drill. Which, why? So I want to talk about the names of things in this book. Since all the names are sort of symbolic, like, what do you think of the character names in here?
There's a lot of pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Rambo, yes. Ratched.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think Giovanni is kind of close to Geppetto, and since it's a
yeah.
puppet, you've got Victor, which actually literally means the winner, right?
Yeah.
So Gio created life. He beat the death of humans.
Yeah.
So he made the victor. I don't know what good it's going to do because Victor is a man and there's no other one.
An asexual
and
he man.
Falls in love with a robot and he's asexual, so
the human race lasted for a good long while with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tits Hap up. Doesn't have a and Hap doesn't have a penis because we are told that consistently.
Smooth like a Ken doll.
Smooth like
We're
a Ken
told
doll.
That consensus. Nurse wants us to know.
She's no penis. I love Nurse Ratched, okay?
Like, she's hilarious.
She makes this book. Like, that's what I want to ask TJ Klune. Who is your inspiration for Nurse Ratched? Like, I just really want to know.
The OG-written nurse. So, you know, somewhere along the line, he coded the Nurse Ratched from One Flew of the Cuckoo's
yeah.
Nest.
Oh, yeah. Hey, sure. Yeah.
But I love that in order to do that, she has to drill.
To drill. And then I love how she always offers the suckers, but she's out of them.
Yeah.
So, she's out of yeah. them. She hasn't she's drilled like, in a while, and she really mm-hmm. wants to. And also, she wants to murder. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And every totally time she offers you a lollipop, she's like, I really wish we refilled that. And then she forgets that she didn't fill it and offers it again.
Would you like a lollipop? Like a
sucker? Oh, wait, we're out of those. We should really fill those, Victor. Yeah. And then, like, she offers Victor one, and 10 minutes later, it's like, Victor, why haven't you filled him yet? I don't know. It's 2050 million, and we haven't had lollipops pre-made in forever.
And Rambo. This is Rambo. I love and Rambo. He's basically a Roomba with arms and like claws.
I was trying to explain to Matt like the scene where they're animating Hap, you know? And I'm trying to explain Rambo, and the only thing I can think of is Pain and Panic from Hercules. And Pain's the one that's like, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. It's not the one that does the voiced by Bobcat Goldwick, the other one, who is like high anxiety all the time. That's who I picture voicing this character.
Oh.
So I picture that this is the robot version of Sam. Hi, can I be your friend? Hi, can I be your friend? Hi, can I be your friend? And he's just kind of like, wait a minute, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
Oh, I see more fear in him than a child.
Yeah.
But Sammy's a good comparison.
Yeah.
A 10-year-old, a little boy is a good comparison.
Sammy's 8. Don't grow him up yet.
My bad. I apologize. Kay. He's just so tall.
Well, that
and
is
And Molly,
true.
He's so tall.
That is true. All right, so question 3. At the beginning of the story, we have a found family established. When Hap joins the family, the vibe changes. For one thing, Victor, who identifies as asexual, might have an interest in the android that kind of surprises him, but not anybody else. Like all of Clune's novels, this book is queer. Did you think the addition of their love story was necessary to the plot?
No.
Oh, I disagree.
I
feel like it could have actually, I felt like he could have leaned more into it. No, I loved it. I loved how Victor like recognized that, yes, he has always been asexual, but what are these different things? I think it was a good way to explain asexuality. I liked it. I wanted the ending to be different based on the lack of love story.
Seriously.
So. Yeah.
I wanted the
ending. Maybe if he would have leaned into it more, I would have liked it more.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. I feel like he needed to pick a story. Either go save dad or the love story with Hap.
Exactly.
There was too much going on.
Too much going on. Yeah.
It's too many slices.
Right.
Doesn't some carrot cake sound good? Speaking of slices, I could go for some carrot cake.
I love carrot cake.
With a really
that's
good,
also healthy. So it has good. Vegetables in it.
With a really good cream cheese frosting.
There's not even any carrot cake in my house, but damn, now I need some carrot cake.
Go tell the kitchen cook one. There's a baker downstairs. Go tell her to make
one. I had carrots in my fridge.
She definitely can make you carrot cake or carrot muffins.
Something. Like, I feel like this episode is just a shit show. And we had talked about doing this episode high. There's no fucking way. We already sound high.
I'm just ADHD.
She said slice. Today. Sorry. Okay. Next question.
Moving on.
My bad.
I need better friends.
Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up.
Okay, so when the smooth androids and Harp come for Geo, we learn they have been looking for Geo for 70 years. In an effort to hide Victor, Geo destroys his heart, which contains drops of Victor's blood.
Right.
Hap also has a heart that contains Victor's blood. What do you think the significance is of the blood sustaining the two androids?
It's a drop of humanity.
Oh, I totally
it's
didn't
a literal-
have any... Yeah, I had no clue on that one.
It's giving them a dollop of humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the touch of God. It's that's the metaphor.
I didn't get that.
That was not it for me.
Yeah,
that
was the metaphor I was getting.
That's not what I thought, Molly. But I do see that. But they already had that because Geo developed a conscience before he left.
Yeah.
So. The conscience be your guide thing again, you know, because
Jiminy freaking cricket.
But I think that it's about, I think it's actually the life sustaining side of it that like these robots will die. Eventually their batteries won't work anymore.
Right.
And not that humans die, but don't die, but we have a life sustaining thing. And you think about it from like the medical world, I'm no expert, but we use blood to save people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I was seeing.
It's life-giving.
By the way, I did not put this as a question, but I am posing it right now because I have a big issue with this. There are a bazillion harps. Why is there only one Geo?
That is a great question.
Wait, no, when they get to like the area where all there are, aren't there other, like he's in his own section.
There are other scientists, but not other Geos. He's the Geo.
He's the general innovative operative. See, I read it as there was like he was in his own lab and there was another Geo over here and another Geo over here, not just other scientists.
Oh, that's well, he doesn't have a number like Harp does.
True. Mm. That's very true. That's very true.
So why is there only one fucking Geo? How'd they make all the fucking robots? Maybe he's
G-I-O-G.
Like, he made other Geos?
Yeah, he's the OG Geo. Yeah.
Molly didn't sing that, so Katie gets a one count. Molly, if Molly sings, we're up to one for Molly. We're counting how many times Molly breaks the sound of this season.
My theory is, I just spit and balling this here, all the other Geos started getting humanity, and so they killed them as soon as they caught them. He's the last one that escaped while having a sense of humanity.
But he's the one that invented the harps.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm really
get on
really,
the phone.
It really has been something that bothered me.
Yeah, I'll just dial him up. Him and I are so close.
Tej, baby, we got questions.
My guy. We have a few questions.
Along the journey to save Geo, the other characters encounter and are kidnapped by the conductor. The conductor runs a sideshow of human artifacts and travels by floating train. What do you think about the conductor?
It made me think of a neurotic CeeLo Green for some reason. Like,
what
that's all
the actual fuck is what I was thinking. Like, what? Yeah. Yeah.
You know that he had, like, crazy eyes and was like, hey, I'm the troll! Like, he's crazy. I think he's supposed to be like Pinocchio, like, you know, Pinocchio gets drug into the sideshow and then that's how he becomes a donkey and all that.
Right.
I think that's what he was supposed to be, but he was very weird.
I can't remember the movie now and it's going to bug me. But in the 80s, there was this movie where there was animatronic and creatures and puppets and all that. And there was this big round robot with a mustache. Do you guys, it looked like the Pringles guy. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
That's okay. I'm going to move on. And I will find it and put it in the notes.
Okay. I felt like this part drug on too.
Did it. Yeah.
To me, it was lazy writing. It was the connection between getting them from far away in their little community that Geo had made to the city. And it wasn't, I don't
like,
know.
Like, I'd have been fine with a time jump at that point and just been like, 3 months later. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I did not need that crazy ass sideshow. And, like, for me, because I listened to the audiobook, I know both of you did too. I love the narrator. He's this
such a good Cerulean
Sea narrator. He's, I don't know if he did Under the Whispering Door because I read that one on my Kindle, but love that narrator. The voice that he did for that one, like, made me want to just be like, I don't know why.
Get your ears out.
Grated on my nerves. Like, I would be like, how much fucking longer in this chapter? Like,
and the conductor was like unnecessarily sexual. Like, he was
had a lot more sex than it needed in it.
Oh yeah. And he like was hitting on Hap, and Nurse Ratched was like, oh, but he doesn't have genitals, and he's like, he's got fingers, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then he was hitting on Ratched and telling her to come back and see him and they could have a good time, and it's like, why are these all like, robots do not have sexuality
in this world. They do
obviously.
That's actually a question I have, which is a good segue into the next question. When the rescue party reaches the City of Dreams, we learn it was formerly Las Vegas. What do you think is the significance of this?
I'm ringing a bell for one reason and one reason only. Percy Jackson.
I've never read
Percy
it.
Fucking Jackson.
Oh, when it. They go to the Lotus Hotel?
Yep. In Vegas. The person in Vegas that has the secrets and the answers is in the middle of a hotel in Vegas. Where are we going? To Vegas for answers. In Vegas. It's just Percy Jackson. It's just Percy Jackson.
I was very confused about where we were in the City of Dreams.
Right.
Because it was like in the same building that like Geo and the Harps were in. It was just like a back entrance. Like, how are they hiding there?
So have either of you ever been to Vegas?
No.
No.
Okay. So what I was imagining, the hotel that's the Luxor, that is the pyramid. Like, there's an entrance to the front of it, and then in my brain, they were, like, in the back entrance, like, where the docks were and stuff. So that's why, like, that's what I was seeing in my brain.
Do you think that's the safest place for renegade robots to be? Like, rebel robots just hanging out at the place where they're making the guys that kill the rebel robots.
I mean... hide, you know, what is like hide them right under their nose kind of thing. I
literally
don't know. Yeah,
it's just there wasn't in a book that's so long, there was not enough description of this section. Like, I was just,
you know, that's funny.
Filled it with all the bullshit from the conductor.
I was hitting
his word count
so
from
much,
the conductor.
I was missing setting in a lot of places in here where I was like, wait, where are we? Wait. Where are we?
And TJ Klune is really wordy, but it's mostly in his other books, it's because of the world building. And that's one of the things I love about him, because he really does build and fill out a world.
Right.
This one was more like exposition, and it was just not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird.
I think it has to do with
I'm
the fact
mad.
That.
I'm just disappointed, TJ.
We're disappointed. I think it's a lot to do with like the City of Sin, because as my next question is. I want to talk about heaven, which is where the blue fairy is.
Oh, I sang, damn it.
Give her a two, Tom. In this novel, heaven is a place for debauchery. What?
There's a song called Heaven in the book, too.
I know. I read it.
Thank God! I couldn't have wrote question.
Okay, so in this novel, heaven is a place for debauchery and sin. It turns the novel into a weirdly sexual brothel for robots. It's, like, very weird. So what do you think that Klune was saying with the inclusion of the robots sinning?
That we're all sinners and icky? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like no matter who you are, we're all gonna, you know, if nobody's watching, we're gonna do bad, right? Isn't that the whole premise of this?
So I initially didn't have an idea, but one just struck me.
Oh, boy.
I know. Here we go. First thought.
Hit me.
So they have the harps, the human annihilation robots, right? They basically say that they create the harps because they could do everything that the humans could do. So that's why they annihilated the humans. So why are they not now just doing the debauchery and the sin and everything that the humans can do too? Like, they can do all of the automated stuff that they can do. And then they can also do the sin and debauchery.
I completely agree with you, Katie. I really think, because the Blue Fairy talks about how he saved Geo because he developed a side of humanity. And I think this is actually all of the robots developing a side of humanity.
Yeah.
It's not the side of humanity that we want to win, right? We want that to be, we want the humane side that wins to be the one that created another human and is going to sustain life. But what ended up winning was
robot sex.
And very odd,
unnecessary
things being put places.
You had to visualize it. I had to be like,
I didn't want to.
Here's the problem. Yeah. The only robot I had in my brain most of this book was Rosie from the Jetsons.
Yes, that's Nurse Ratched.
One of the robots that was like,
why?
One of the robots, the one the conductor like help connects with, and he talks about how that robot enjoyed blah blah blah. I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah.
He reminded me of Johnny Five.
I love Johnny Five.
Johnny Five still alive. Katie, you're looking blank. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know that reference.
Oh my gosh. I'm texting you a link to fucking Johnny Five when we're out of here. By the way, do we have the same pen, but yours is just a different color?
I don't know. Mine's black.
But does it have a diamond on top?
No, it's got a crystal. It's actually, it came from my hashtag not sponsored Mindful Souls box. That's like my monthly subscription of good juju.
We basically have the same one other than mine is not.
That's the movie. Short Circuit.
Yeah, Short Circuit.
Oh, okay. I know Short Circuit, but I guess I don't get the reference.
The main robot is Johnny Five.
Yeah.
And then every time Gio came on, I thought of the little robots from Batteries Not Included.
Not on that one either.
I just kept picturing Geppetto, but as an android.
Bushy mustache, but very straight jawline. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. The Blue Fairy is a very interesting, I guess that's a good word for him, creature. They are described as a sexualized body with male and female anatomy, a deceptive demeanor that is hard to decipher between good and evil. The fairy, Blue Fairy, tends to give robots whatever they desire. Do you think they are modeled after any particular archetype?
Oh, yeah.
Please elaborate, because I don't.
I had a very distinct picture in my head.
It's the sirens from mythology.
Okay, I could see that.
Sex, yeah. And whatever you want, just come a little closer. Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
The song where the drink a little bit of more.
Three.
Just. Yep. Damn it. Continue on without me for the rest of the episode.
Have you guys seen Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah.
Yes.
The red guy, the one
that was
Satan from there. Paint him blue. That's the Blue Fairy.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
With the wizard from Wicked. Yes.
Okay.
Singing and dancing. I get it. I see it.
I got to squint and tilt my head a little bit on that one. But I'll get it.
It's a Warshak test.
Who do you see the Blue Fairy as? Yeah.
it's a seeing eye poster. You gotta move back and forth.
Well, I mean,
is with your nails.
I pick.
Oh, Lord.
Don't look at them then. Sorry. Look at this one.
I have no control. For me, it was thinking about this like, okay, I know that that's not what TJ Klune was going for here because he's an atheist, but thinking about this from a Christian perspective, who is the ultimate tempter?
Got that.
Who gives the desires, no matter what they may be, that are...
Lucifer. Lucy. Scandals.
Right.
Yeah. Lucy.
And I just kept picturing, I think they call him, I don't even remember what they actually call him.
Whatever you want to call
it. I think they call him like It or He Who Will Not Be Named or something like that in Powerpuff Girls. I'll put it in the notes, but he's cross-dressed, right? So like it's a male character who is wearing like a fish, almost like Rocky Horror.
They call him him.
Frankenfurter. Mm-hmm. Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yeah,
they call him Rocky Horror again. H-I-M.
They call him what?
They call him him.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, that's who I was picturing.
I love Frankenfurter.
Blue. I want to watch Rocky Horror again. I haven't seen it in a while. Not since Tom and I were first dating. Side note, Tom cross-dressed for that.
Yes.
Zero surprise. I'm actually proud of him.
Was he Elektra, or who did he dress as?
He just wore like a... whatever bustier and
I love that
corset and
yeah
I feel like things.
I feel like my kids are old enough to go to a live one this year. Maybe we'll do that.
Oh, I bet your kids would love it.
We've seen it like eight times at home.
I wore a corset and a little lingerie skirt, and some guy who was totally gay, like was holding hands with his boyfriend, lifted up my skirt and slapped my ass.
I love that.
And I was here like, for what it. The
Thank
fuck?
You.
Also, I was teaching at the time, and I was teaching in an art school, and my students were there. They were part of it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
In the end of this novel, the end of this novel comes very abruptly, in my opinion. Victor has rescued Gio, but Hap's heart is destroyed and he's no longer alive. Victor creates a new heart for Gio, but he doesn't come back the same. When Victor finally makes Hap a new heart, the two are together, I guess, for lack of a better word. But what did you guys think of this ending?
This was so depressing.
Oh my gosh.
It was so fucking depressing.
I read all this and that was the ending you gave me? Come on, TJ. Come on.
I get we can't always have nice things, but this was not nice. That was heartbreaking.
Every other one of his books has had a happy ending. Like,
why are you doing this to us?
I think it was like intended to be a happy ending because like he brings them back and they like go off together, but it wasn't. It
didn't end up that way.
No, I don't. It feels like this was intentional. This was very intentional.
It was more like the curtain dropped before we got to see.
Yes.
Like, look, life isn't, sometimes you do save the day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you do save the day, that doesn't change anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this is. Sometimes, no matter what you do, you can't win.
When was this published?
And that fucking sucks.
Last year.
So
I'm pretty sure this.
Do you think he wrote it during COVID? Do you think he wrote it during COVID?
He was like, life is useless and unnecessary, and we're all going to die.
Do you think he was like in this COVID depression? Yeah. So was he writing it during COVID, where he was like, you know, because talking about like the lifeblood and you know all of that? I wonder if he did write this during COVID, and he was just like,
he was just feeling alone and depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, then this book was a shelved book that he pulled back out because he had to publish a third book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense for the way that it reads.
Yeah.
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 Again, we're not mad. We're just disappointed.
We're just disappointed.
Come back. TJ, come on. Bring us the next Cerulean Sea book. Defend this book. We will have a good time.
It comes out this month. I have it on pre-order.
I thought I was going to be the first person to get it on Hoopla, and I got a notification that I was 46th on the list. I put it on hold like a year ago. Like, I don't know. It was like in January. I'm like, what the hell?
Released it. So rude.
I don't want to buy it because it's coming out in hardback, and I have House in the Cerulean Sea in paperback, and I just can't. Like, I can mix the fact that I have this one in hardback and I have the werewolf series in hardback, but I just can't like mix the series with like, it bothers me.
That doesn't bug.
Like
it does me a little bit, but I want to read it more than I want to wait for it to come out in paperback.
So. Yeah, but I'll just get it from the library and then read it. But over here, like I have the, over here somewhere, I have the Grishaverse. And two of the books are in hardback and the rest is in paperback. And it really irritates me. It just doesn't look good on my shelf.
All of my Grisha verse is in paperback. So it looks real pretty.
I will do my damnedest to make sure they're all the same. Mm-hmm. But if I can, I won't. It doesn't break my brain.
The reason I don't want to like repurchase these two books in paperback to like make it look right is because it's the two books I didn't like. Mm. It's the Six of
That's
Crows.
Fair.
So valid. I don't want to do it.
Which I loved those. Those were like, those were my faves.
The King of Scars. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
King of Scars. Those were my favorite.
Excuse me.
It's only 6:45.
I know.
All right. Finally, I want to talk about the literary allusions we saw in this novel.
Okay.
First we know it is intended to be a Pinocchio retelling. But... Yeah. Were there other stories that you all saw referenced?
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. I saw that one a lot.
A Boy's Journey I don't think this is super intentional, but I saw a couple Percy Jackson references, like, you know, with a journey and having to, like, defeat things and going to the next level. And it yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those two. When you guys there.
Sent the picture of the cover, or when I looked picture and the houses were up in the trees, that's like not what I thought. I was thinking like Swiss Family Robinson.
That's house, what I thought. House that's with what trees. I was hoping
that's
for.
What I was that's... seeing in my head. Well, so.
And they referenced Swiss for. Family Robinson yeah. was what Geo based it on.
Yeah.
So yeah, to me, the illustration on the cover, which I'll just show it again for those of you that are looking mm-hmm. online, watching the YouTube, for me, this design, because it's got to be the same artist that did his other two books. These houses look more like Under the Whispering Door houses
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Unless Swiss Family Robinson, like, but
yeah,
for me, I thought the whole thing with the blue fairy when he puts Hap under the trance, that to me was so much like A Wrinkle in Time. To me, this is not, I don't see Pinocchio here, other than he calls them puppets. Like, other than that, I don't see Pinocchio. I see There's the Alice Wizard of Oz and Wrinkle in Time.
Alice in Wonderland. There's some Alice in Wonderland little bits in yeah. there. People talking in verse and rhymes for no mm-hmm, reason. Mm-hmm, people that mm-hmm. don't understand. Be you know, in your outside your realm and your verse. That's, you know.
Yeah.
I get what he's trying to do. It's just missed the mark for me.
Isn't the plane named like Dogfish or something, which is also like
they
a little
whale? Yeah, and they call him, but they call it a whale, which mm-hmm. is
it's a white whale, like yeah. Moby Dick.
Moby yeah. Dick, or yeah. Whale in Pinocchio that eats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The whale that eats. That makes more sense than what I said.
I don't but, know.
Yeah, there's just a lot. There's a lot.
There's a lot of things.
So I have a question. I just thought of one. So okay. This one is supposed to be, like, you know, based on Pinocchio or whatever. Are his other books supposed to be based on fairy tales? And I just completely missed that symbolism too, or?
So it's funny that you asked that, because
I didn't notice that.
His House on the Cerulean Sea, there's actually a lot of controversy with TJ Klune, and I can like link some stuff below. It bums me out because I really hate it. Like, Neil Gaiman over the summer, there was controversy with him too. It's just so
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. That upsets me.
Yeah, me too. But so House on the Cerulean Sea was actually inspired by when Native Americans were like, the kids were like basically kidnapped and sent to these schools to make them white.
Oh,
and yeah. to make them like toe a line. And that's what inspired him to write that. And a lot of people are bothered by that because that's not his story to tell.
Right.
Which it isn't. I didn't see that reference Mm-mm. at all. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was more like a social worker mm-hmm. in a Harry yeah. Potter study. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I
really, I really thought it was a conversation on how we're treating our
others.
Children.
The yeah. other. Our
children in the foster care system. Yeah. That's what I
and
thought.
And children
was.
With disabilities. And yeah, yes. that's how I took
yeah, yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I saw too. I was thinking more like kids that are othered. And
has he outright said that was his inspiration?
Yes, he did.
Oh, wow. Okay, well,
shit. If I can find like the actual article, that's what I'll link below. Okay, but he did, in fact, say that's what inspired him.
Hmm.
So, and I don't know if I'll be able to find this either, but he said in some sort of presentation that I saw on TikTok or Instagram, again, hashtag not sponsored, that part of the reason why he keeps writing queer fantasy is like completely in response to J.K. Rowling and how she feels about the queer community. So he's going to keep providing that. And in his little bio in the back of all of his novels, he talks about how all of his books will be queer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't blame him. I mean, she doesn't just say these things. She attacks. Mm-hmm. You know, every time JK opens her mouth about mm-hmm. anyone in the LGBTQ plus community, it's not just words of hate. Mm-hmm. It's words of mm-hmm. I can't talk. It's vitriol. You know what I'm saying. thank you. And like, yeah, it's disgusting, vicious. And yeah. spewing. And like, it is purposely it is intentional. Every time she does this.
But my issue with that is people keep buying her stuff. They've never actually officially canceled her, because when someone gets canceled, like, they're done. They're dropped and mm-hmm. you don't see them. They don't publish. They don't make movies. Like, yeah. people won't buy it, right?
But, their JK shit's still selling.
Everything.
Harry Potter. I mean,
and people yeah. will literally say, I don't like her, and then go buy another scarf. Like, just, if you don't want to support her, stop supporting her.
But it's the
same. I don't like Harry Potter anyway, so this is all moot to me, but.
But it's like the Chick-fil-A thing. Think about that.
That's God's chicken. That's the Lord's chicken.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody eats that shit. Even though everyone's pissed that they treat the queer community bad.
They're hiring a DEI person for their executive staff.
I don't know what that means.
Diversity, equity, inclusion.
Equity and inclusion.
Yeah.
That's great.
They're hiring a DEI person for their executive staff so that they can try to do better. So they're trying. They're trying.
Locally, since we're on this, Chick-fil-A has been updating all of their drive-thrus so it's safer for their crews.
I know. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It still can take an hour to get through the fucking line. All right, that's all I got.
It stresses me out so bad. The Chick-fil-A drive-thru stresses me out.
Come up. I'm like, I don't know. Do you have a menu? Like, I can't order from back here. I don't know what I want.
I know you have the exact same thing in your head last week when I was here, but now I need to look at it. Yeah.
And they used to have like menus that they would hand you, but they don't do that now after the pandemic. Nope. They don't do that. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't do this.
Just know what you want.
Can I just have a classic chicken sandwich, I guess? Yeah. That's fine.
I don't know what I want. I'll take chicken. Just pick one.
You tell me what
which
I want.
Chicken?
I just want Chick-fil-A sauce with whatever you give me. And kale salad, please. I just like the kale salad.
And you better be giving me some of those honey roasted barbecue, damn it.
All right, I don't have anything else. You guys have anything else? This episode could very well be over an hour because we have just been like chopping it. The audience doesn't know this, but we had some technical difficulties with this.
Sorry.
Welcome to our lives.
Next week, we are reading The Light Pirate, and I don't have a copy of it.
I don't have a copy. Tom,
can you just put it right here, The Light Pirate?
I'm two-ish hours in. It has nothing to do with pirates yet.
I am also two-ish hours in, and I don't understand what the fuck the book is about. So it's going to be a great episode.
I cannot wait to film this. Let's hope I have enough questions.
There's a hurricane. That's what I got. And the hurricane.
There's a hurricane. That's and she's pregnant.
You might not be as far as me.
Oh no, I'm farther. I just don't want to do spoilers.
Okay, we'll do spoilers next week. Katie, we love you. We promise not to bug you in October.
Yep, but, not doing it. Yeah.
But, you know, you may have
to. Don't worry. Hillary's doing it. She just doesn't know it yet.
Oh, okay.
We're coming for you.
Before we go, check social media. We'll be posting the October reads, which, as we've already said, are scary this time. We are actually doing some legitimately scary books. We are also, I am very, very happy to announce
the places.
That we are not just going to be doing scary books in October, because we are actually going to be filming live. Yay. We are going to be filming live at Novel Grounds in Chesapeake, Virginia on October 12th.
That's
at 3:00. We will
in my email.
You what?
I definitely didn't have the 3rd on my calendar till the beginning of this week.
The 13th, right. Boo, so that's good, right? 12th. Oh, 12th. We're both killing it.
So we will be
so good at pod.
We will be at Novel Grounds.
So well.
Guys, come on.
Sorry.
respectfully, fuck both of you. Okay, so we...
Don't make me do it.
They're about to bell me. November... No, fucking hell. I give up. October 12th, we will be interviewing Emma Berry when her book, Bad Reputation, it's her book launch. She's
local. I'm so excited for this book.
Yeah, she's local to this area where I live, and she's going to be doing her launch on October 12th at Novel Grounds. I'll put things below so you can find it. We will be there interviewing her live. I'm actually going to meet her tomorrow. So
I'm excited. Yay. Yeah.
So we will be doing that. And I mean, this is our first like true live, because when we do Annapolis Book Festival, we don't do it as a single episode. It's like bound together, but this is going to be a live filming. If it's anything like today, it will be an absolute shit show. So come and watch it. Now, people need to know, and that's what I'll link below, but Novel Grounds does charge for these events. So it is a paid event, but you do get a copy of the book, which Emma Berry will sign for you.
Yay!
Anything to add?
Did you guys get arcs?
So I'm picking up my arc tomorrow from her. I'm going to meet her. I'm not going to announce where she's from, but I'm going to go meet her where she lives, which is not far from me. And she's mailing Molly an arc. It should be, nice. She mailed it yesterday. So it should be there in a few days.
She's like, meeting her in the room of requirement.
I like arcs.
Well, maybe get your ass over to Virginia again.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
We've had a great episode, gang.
All I can just say is I cannot be there for live, or it would be a whole hour of this shit, and this lovely author would be like, what the fuck?
The actual fuck. Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for Tom having to edit this episode.
It was an accident. I didn't touch nothing.
Thank you, Tom.
Nobody believes me.
Okay, guys, we have got to go, okay? All right, until next time, besties. Bye! Thank you for joining us on Book Besties with special guest and bonus bestie, Nurse Katie. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. Today's book was In the Lives of Puppets by TJ Klune. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.